We lost her on the Wednesday. This was the Saturday. And on the Saturday morning, I was sitting there laughing. I look back and I'm like, phew. But it's exactly what I needed.
Every single person that I have supported has always said they feel guilty the first time that they've left.
Yeah.
Every single person. I can't think of anybody who hasn't said that they felt guilty.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
Welcome along to the Still Parents podcast. We are live from the Still Parents podcast studio. My name is Dan. I'm here, as always, with Ryan and Matt from the Lily Mae Foundation. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm all right, thank you. Apart from a horrendous sore throat, chesty cough, snotty nose and a headache.
Happy New Year to you both.
And to you.
Happy New Year, mate.
Happy New Year. And to all of our listeners.
Yes. Yeah, did you have a good one? Is that where you picked up your cold?
No, I think I actually got it when I went to Dirty Arsenal on the 30th.
Oh, you went to watch the villain, didn't you?
Because Paul, who came with us, has been ill as well. So I do think we probably picked something up Arsenal. Either at Arsenal or on the tube or something like that.
Arsenal fans, mate.
Yeah.
Not cleaning the seats.
No, less said the better.
So you can, if you're not already, well, obviously, if you're watching through the Instagram Live, but if you're listening back to the recorded version of this, you can follow our socials. All the details are in the description. We've got an app as well. And at some point, maybe if you're even interested in joining us on the show for a few minutes, whether it's for a whole show or just coming on for a quick part of a discussion, then drop us an email, let us know, and we will be back in touch with you. But every once in a while, we will just be having a little live chat at lunchtime with the three of us and going through a particular, just, you know, mini topic and theme. Not completely straight down that line, but we'll branch off, you know, if the conversation goes that way. And if there's a topic in particular that you would like to hear more about from Ryan and from Matt, then please drop us a suggestion and we can put that on the list to do for a future time.
I think it's also worth highlighting that Lucy, who does all our PR, all of our marketing, all of our Instagram and stuff like that, put polls out last year to ask people what they wanted us to talk about. So this is also listener-led, which is really good as well, because it's subjects that have been brought up by the listeners on how we deal with certain situations ourselves.
Yeah, and it's what we need. So we want to be able to discuss the things that you are asking to hear about. And obviously, over the years, there will be similar themes and similar topics. But as the, you know, through the passage of time, even the way, as we'll find out actually in the next 30 minutes, things would have changed a lot in the what will soon to be 16 years next month with Ryan and Amy when they lost Lily, and 10 years for Matt and Crystal when they lost Callie. So the theme for this particular episode is going to be all about family and friends and how they can support you. Or if you are the family or the friend and you haven't gone through the loss yourself, but it is someone close to you, how you can support them.
Like you, Dan. You're a friend.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Friend, oh, friends.
Friend or friend.
Oh, podcast friends.
Bald friend.
Lunchtime studio friends.
But you are. You are.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, so we'll start with this then, because it's kind of, in a way, how this podcast started, which was during lockdown, where pretty much, in a nutshell, we said these conversations that the three of us are having when we, you know, because we used to do a bit of I originally met Ryan and Amy through hosting an event. It was a wedding show event, wasn't it?
No, it was a wedding ball.
The wedding ball.
Yes.
Which I think is nearly 10 years ago.
Yes.
Wow. And so from that, and obviously we got talking through Ryan and then met Matt, and we said, you know, let's put these conversations that we're having on the interwebnet. And that's simply what we did, and the podcast has sort of evolved through that. So I guess in a way it was those, and I can only talk about it from the angle of I wanted to understand more about the emotions and how to approach people and how to have conversations. So purely from a selfish angle, so I didn't come across even more of a dickhead before someone else says it. And because you never know what's going to happen. I never know with some of my other friends, because it is, you know, I'm still going through that, although I'm in my late 40s now. Still some of my friends are, you know, they're having kids. And one of my friends who I won't say his name, but he hasn't, I hadn't seen him in over 10 years. You know what it's like with old school friends? And all of a sudden you bump into them, and it was at a wedding. And then he messaged on my Instagram about 3 or 4 months later to say, discovered the podcast, been having a listen, and then told me about his, I think he's had 3 or 4 miscarriages. Wow. And it really hit him hard. And it was 9-10 years ago, something, and he never opened up about it, because I think until he realised that it was, although I hadn't lost myself, but it, as we always say, it's a world that I've become immersed in through you guys, he suddenly then felt like he could just speak, and it was like a little pressure, a little way for him to get something out.
It's room for people to talk, isn't it? Yeah, that's what it is.
So from this, I would like to get, if you've never heard an episode, if this is the first time you've ever heard the Still Parents podcast, to get a bit more of a background, I would like to reintroduce you to Ryan and to Matt. So we'll start with you, Ryan. You and your wife, Amy, who set up the Lily Mae Foundation after you lost Lily, which will be 16 years ago next month.
Correct.
To get to the topic of family and friends and how they can support you, let's start, if you don't mind, Ryan, at the beginning, when you're in that numbness, I'm guessing, or that the absolute depths of coming to terms with the fact that you've lost your child. What are your memories, you know, original memories of how your family and also your friends rallied around? Also things that you didn't like.
Well, now I'm in my 40s. My memory's not as good as it used to be.
Mate, wait till you get to nearly your 50s.
Yeah, you're nearly there as well.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. It's actually a really good question, because you can look at it in two ways. So you can look at it in a way, what did I want, or what did myself and Amy want from our friends and family? And what did they provide without us having to say anything?
Oh, let's break it down into those two parts. Yeah.
So for me, in the immediate aftermath, and I'm talking hours, days, weeks maybe, everything was a lot more close. I think everything was a lot more closer between us as a whole family. And when I say a whole family, I don't just mean myself, Amy, and Alfie at the time. I mean the whole family, to include my parents, or my two sets of parents, and Amy's parents. I'm not greedy, by the way, with two sets of parents, but my mom and dad are divorced.
Right.
So what I mean by that is that there was more of a sort of connection right at the very start, because I think everything is so raw and everybody wants to help you, things like funeral, all of that sort of stuff. In terms of friends, before I go on to friends, in terms of family, over time, obviously, everyone goes back to their normal every day. But then obviously we had an extremely close relationship with Amy's mum and dad. And obviously through the charity and stuff as well, with Jeff chairing the trustees and things like that, there's always been more of a sort of close-knit family tie, if you look at it from that respect.
And I've always sensed that through the time of knowing you, that you've got that, you've got that base.
Yeah, so there's always been that support there. In terms of friends, I think it's very... everyone I talk to or everyone I support always says that baby loss determines who your friends are and who are your acquaintances.
Right.
And I found very, very quickly who were my friends and who were my acquaintances of which I no longer have active dialogue with. Not because I dislike them in any way, shape or form, but more because...
The evolution, isn't it?
The evolution of how you move on.
Was it not who you... it's not going to be who you expect as well, is it? I'm guessing some of them would be, but...
I think...
We have touched on this before, the surprise of like, I didn't expect you to be that person, and why haven't you done this?
Yeah, friendships definitely were the people who I expected them to be, because they were friends as in my best man at my wedding or Amy's best friend that she's grown up with since sort of, you know, day dot and things like that. So in terms of friends in that respect, I knew exactly who it was going to be. In terms of acquaintances,
you can tell he's trying not to name them.
Well, I won't name them because it's not fair.
Do that.
And also, I don't know if they're watching. But in terms of acquaintances, I think it was more of, I think they got, I used to use the word grief, tired. I think they got tired of supporting or offering words or things like that. So that's why I say I don't look at it in a bad way. I look at it in a way as in, you knew that the cream always rises to the top, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I knew who was going to be the ones.
You could sense it.
Yeah.
And you also sense, like, sometimes it's, I say platitudes because it is got an, it's a negative connotation, but sometimes that might be born from just someone feeling like they need to say something, but they don't want to say the wrong thing, so they go to it's almost like a safe ground, isn't it, of, okay, I know this, although it doesn't really mean anything, but then it's shown that I've said something.
Yeah, and also I think that what sums it up for me is that I have had friends since losing Lily who weren't my friends at the time because I'd never met them, who have probably done more for the charity and more for me as an individual, allowing me the opportunity to grieve and speak and be open and honest with them than maybe the acquaintances ever did.
Okay. I mean, I'm get to this in a bit as well, after we hear the same answer from Matt, because you two are extremely... You two are two of my closest friends and have become so over the last 5-6 years. Oh. And as you can tell, they have very different ways of
expressing emotions.
Oh yeah. Ryan doesn't care and will tell you to F off in a heartbeat.
I'm just black and white.
Yeah. And I love that. I do like that about people.
Absolutely, yeah.
Matt is just a really tall walking hog, right? And the ways that, that you two, so it's going to be interesting to see the different ways actually, and also the ways that you communicated between each other. So Matt, now it's 10 years this year, which is, because it's such a milestone, isn't it? And you've got your challenge as well, which we'll get to in a moment. But how are you feeling?
I'm all right at the minute. I go through periods. I think at the minute I'm just struggling with it being that long. Mm. I don't.
Because you've been building, I've noticed you've been building up to like...
Yeah, and I don't even think I've done anything deliberately to build up to it. I just think
it's like a subconscious thing.
I think it's naturally happened. Yeah. I think 10 years is... 10 is a weird number for years, because what I'm saying, and this is another... No, this is another Matt thing, by the way. No,
Because you've never heard the show before. Yeah. Like this Matt has a way with words.
And you know why? Because in my head, I've said already, it's what's in my head. It comes out to me making sense.
Sorry, mate. Sorry. No, carry on.
I remember when Ryan went through what got to 10 years with Lily, because we did the 10-10-10 campaign.
It was just before we started this podcast as well.
That's right.
It?
10 is a big number. It's built to be a big number.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be a big number, but everyone goes like, 10 years, like...
It's a double figures, isn't it?
Right.
Because I remember turning 10 myself, and just remember a conversation with the teachers going,
right.
And they said to me, double figures
double
at
digits.
Last.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Because that's going to take me an extra half a second to write on my maths paper.
More than that for me.
Yeah.
But it's also, you're going into the period of time where you're looking at things like, Cali would be going towards secondary school and all that. All these kind of that milestones start to pop up and stuff, right? And things that you know you're never going to go through with her, which is bluntly pretty crap, right? Let's face it, right? So I'm doing all right with it. Yeah. I think I'm just going to go up. I'm just going to go up and down throughout the whole year. I feel like that. That's how I feel at the minute. Yeah.
So going back to the start when you lost Cali and that initial reaction from family and friends, because of course there's going to be a different, family and then friends react. And I know we've touched on this in previous episodes, but it's been a long time ago, so it's always interesting to hear how, again, through the passage of time, they might have different perspectives, viewpoints, references on it.
Well, my parents, when we lost her, my parents were away on holiday down in Norfolk, which is a for anyone around the world, it's quite... I mean, for an American, it's like round the corner, right? But for us, it's quite a long journey down to Norfolk from Birmingham. And I knew... There's a couple of things that I've said that I knew how big it was with my parents, because my dad, if he was sat here now, would just talk, because that's what he does. He just talks to anyone.
Good dad's brilliant.
And he didn't know what to say for at least a couple of days around this, but they also... He drove back from Norfolk without a break. Now, I mean, it's a long way, right? You try and break driving up to tiredness, all this kind of stuff. But I knew...
Yeah, what was it? About three and a half hours from
there? It's nearly like 4 hours, isn't it? Like, so
it's not even a whole day.
Yeah. So half a day, mate. Yeah. So he drove back without a break. Like, I've said this loads. I had to make the phone call to my mum to tell her that will always sit with me.
Mm.
And so they just drove back. So my parents have obviously, they've been the ones that have been there.
Mm.
Friends... you know who I'm going to bring in. I've talked about him so many times, but Rob.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah.
But for those who've never heard the show before, to give it that kind of headline.
Rob, my best mate, him and his wife were up the hospital within half an hour, and he was my best man at my wedding as well. And Rob has been, like, from the male point of view, has been an incredible support network.
Yeah.
And as has his wife. Now, it's interesting because I believe she's on the stream at the minute, but there's what Ryan was talking about, friends coming into play. Carrie Hawker, I think, is on at the moment, and she's one who's come into our lives. And you know, you just get people who seem to get it, and she's always just got it. And she's always been so supportive around Callie. And it's mad because, like, she came into our lives through, she's the wife of one of my other friends. And she just came in, and like I said, she's just been.
When did you meet?
So again, like Ryan, there's some bits that you just can't.
Was it before you guys?
Carrie will be able to. She might be able to comment on it. She's just still on, but I might have been just after we'd lost Callie.
But almost it seems like, because you, again, it's a difference between Ryan and Matt, because you're a religious person, Ryan's
not.
So it almost feels to a sense like she was sent to be there in this moment.
Yeah, and so there's friends like that have come into play. But as far as family's concerned, my sister has been incredible.
Yeah.
Like, she lives in Huddersfield, so we don't see each other a lot. But her and her fella, John, have been fantastic support as well.
Can you break down ways, like examples? And I know it might be a difficult question, but, you know, just how, because there's different ways to show support, isn't it? Because what that doesn't necessarily mean just phoning in and checking every day, because it might be like, I just need a minute now. It's having that emotional intelligence to maybe sense when you need a mental hug or a little kind of reach out, or just the ways that people show that they're there, but without, I guess, forcing themselves into the scenario.
Well, it's interesting because her fella John is a really nice fella, and he's quite a quiet chap, but he's a nice fella. And when I made that phone call, my parents obviously have told me this and said that he was the one who took over leaving the cottage, because they were halfway through the holiday. They didn't, like, and he literally just turned around and went, right, well, we're off home.
Yeah, okay.
We're going home and we're leaving the hot, you know, we're doing this. And my parents were obviously just in bits because they didn't know what to do at that point. So he literally almost took control and was like, right, well, Pat, we'll do it. This will logically go through this. We'll pack the cottage up. We'll pack all the stuff and just get on the road and go. So he did that. Like I said, my sister has just been, she's done things for she's raised money for the charity and stuff. But again, she's always checking in, and she's always checking in to make sure I'm all right. So yeah. And I've got closer to Sarah as we've got older. Cause I mean, I was just the annoying little brother, like when I was little, and she'd bring me into line.
A bit like the annoying podcast host.
I was waiting. You notice how I went silent then? Because I knew Ryan was going to say something.
His eyes lit up as soon as I said that.
Is it similar to, I mean, friendships evolve over time anyway. So there's people.
I've lost people.
Yeah. There's people in my life that aren't friends with the same way as were 10 years ago. And I've not been through that situation. But was his name Suds?
Sudders,
I remember it was some kind of like washing liquid.
His name is Craig Sudlow. Yeah. His name is Craig Sudlow, but as footballers, you don't call any footballer by their real name.
Is this the guy, is he the guy, if I recall correctly, who kind of took you by surprise one day?
Yeah,
just a simple...
While we're in the hospital.
Yeah, and this is just an example of a really simple gesture which left a huge imprint on Matt, if you don't mind doing that story for us.
We were in the hospital and he literally sent me a message saying like...
Before you start, sorry, what was your relationship with him like?
So he played
up to that
moment. So I was manager at Willenhall Town, and Sudders played for me at Willenhall. He was one of my players, and Sudders was one of the best but hardest characters I've ever managed. In a sense of,
right,
I would get back from a game, and even if we'd won or lost, he would be straight on the text saying, "Why did you pick him? He was rubbish."
Right.
Blah blah blah. And I'd just text back. This is Saturday night, and I'd text back going, "Sudders, I'll talk to you Monday. Just leave me for a second, all right?"
Yeah.
But over time, I thought Sudders might leave because he literally would question every decision I made. I'm like, well, he obviously doesn't respect me or think I know what I'm doing. So
that's just his natural manner by the sound
of
it.
He's just, you think he's direct, right?
Oh, Ryan.
Yeah. Sudders,
Does Sudders make Ryan seem like you?
basically.
Yeah. Right, wow, okay.
Wow.
You know, yeah, genuinely, like, he was just like, you know, and... But
you need that sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And again, he like I said, I thought he was going to leave, but eventually over time, he carried on playing for me and he actually became one of the players who I relied on so much, and his relationship with me again evolved, and eventually I think he respected me because he stayed. He didn't leave. But while we were in the hospital, he messaged and said, when you get out the hospital or whenever you get back, I'm picking you up and I'm taking you for some food and getting you out of the house as soon as you get back. And I was like, okay. And literally the next, we got home, we had a night. The next morning he came around, picked me up and took me to his gym that he was at the time. And then, and he'd invited some of the other players along and they'd,
oh, wow, okay.
They'd come along and we just sat. But it's interesting, we lost her on the Wednesday. This was the Saturday. And on the Saturday morning, I was sitting there laughing. And I was like, I look back and I'm like, but it's exactly what I needed.
I'm really glad you brought that up because it's something we've discussed in the past, and it is that first time, obviously I can't relate to this, but the first time that you catch yourself laughing.
But you know what it was?
After your loss.
It was the fact that we went along and we talked about Cali, but we didn't talk about the loss.
Mm.
We just talked about normal things.
Yeah.
And I needed that at that point. And Crystal went off to her best friend's house. So we've actually both split that morning.
Yeah.
Crystal went off to her best friend's house. I went off with the lads and it was just exactly what we needed.
Do you know what he said? That's a great point because it doesn't mean that you have to specifically talk about the loss. And I think sometimes, and I've spoke to friends and they've asked about this podcast, and something which I think is almost an elephant in the room style question is, but if I'm with that person, does that mean that's what we're always going to talk about? And I'm saying, well no, I mean, that depends. That's completely down to the dynamic. I can't answer this question. It's down to the dynamic you have with that person. And also in that moment. And of course not. You need to have those everyday conversations. Like what you said, go out for some food.
Do you know what though?
Talk
as well,
football, yeah.
It's really interesting you say that because myself and Amy went to support groups when we first lost Lily, because you want to be around people who know what page you're singing from and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I used to go into some of these support groups at times and think it was almost like a prescribed sadness moment.
Like you were forced to be sad, like the opposite of a corporate fun.
Yeah, what I used to hate was it was always the same people as well. I would never ever call anybody out. No. We know between ourselves, myself and Matt, because we've spoken in the past, where whenever you speak to certain people, it's like it just has to be so solemn and so sad and so this.
And for some people that might work, but it depends on the character.
But for me, this is why this podcast does what it does, because the amount of people that we've had who comment to us saying, it's nice to have a bit of humour, it's nice to have a bit of a laugh and a joke alongside the sadness, because you can't be sad 24/7.
No. It's not good for you.
You can't be happy 24/7.
No.
It's good. You mix it between, and this
is some people come and they really wind me up.
Oh yeah, like happy crew. Yeah. I know who you mean, people like that. I can't work with people like that. Doing my
and everyone knows one, and if you don't know one, it means it's you.
Yeah, but it was like prescribed sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't work with things like that. Mm. And that is why I suppose when I've met friends who I now call friends through losing Lily and through meeting people after having a loss, it's people that are similar to me in person in terms of personality and stuff like that, because they understand me, I understand them, I understand what makes them tick, what makes me tick and stuff.
Precisely.
I'm just not one of these prescribed, you've got to be sad in this moment now.
And this is what I mean. I mean, to take a line from you, nothing's, grief isn't linear, and every person has got their own, although some people might be similar, everyone's completely different, and what works as one way of getting through a moment is not going to be the same way that another person is going to get through that
but
moment.
That's the same with couples. I mean, like... Me and Crystal are a prime example. I've always been very vocal about Cali and shared loads online, all this kind of stuff. Crystal very rarely shares a lot about Cali, but it don't mean she don't love her. It's just that's how she chooses to do it, you know? And
plus in a way she might be kind of, what's the word, is it vicariously doing it through you?
Yeah, maybe. But there's so many, and this is why these episodes are going to be so good that we do, because I think that it just shows people there is so much to this subject.
I want to
highlight that comment.
Yeah, is it from Kelly Jean-Philippe. All right, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Who is watching. If you're watching the stream at the minute, go and follow his page. It's Dad Always. You can see his comment through there. He's been on, he's one of our ambassadors.
He is.
He's got the best voice in the world.
Oh. Sounds like a love doctor. Love doctor.
If you hear our, if you're a regular listener.
Listen to his voice.
Yeah, he does our introduction as well. He's like the old school 90s movies guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
In a world. Critics are calling this film really quite good. One of those. But he's just dropped a message into the group, into the live chat. Have you guys ever looked back at that moment and felt guilty, though? Has that ever come up from others you've spoken to that they felt guilty for having a moment of laughter after a loss? Which is a great question.
Every single person that I have supported has always said they feel guilty the first time that they've laughed.
Yeah.
Every single person. I can't think of anybody who hasn't said that they felt guilty. I can't comment on myself because, to be completely honest, I can't even remember the first time I laughed after,
you've never
after
laughed.
Lily. And yeah, I just don't laugh anyway.
I'm just a
grumpy fucker.
Because he's got a cold as well, isn't he? Even though Ryan said no vowels today because he's that bunged up.
Yeah. But no, every single person that I've supported has always said that they've felt guilty for laughing. And my response is, I would never respond to somebody saying you've got nothing to feel guilty about, because you're never going to remove guilt from somebody. But it is okay to laugh again. It is okay to smile again, and it is okay to have a joke and a bit of banter with friends, because I've always said you can't be sad 24/7.
And that's what I like about you, because you're honest and you're to the point. And I don't like people that sugarcoat things or say things which, you know, just a bit, you can just, when it's insincere. And on the flip side, you can, I guess, be too much the other way, too blunt and just maybe not emotionally intelligent enough or reading the room. And it's having that right balance, isn't it? Of going, okay, I need to hear tough love. That's what it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Tough love.
But I think that the laughter side, it's showing people that it is so important to know that you can, and I say this quite a lot to people, I can't be sad a lot about Callie now because of what she's given me in my life. And it's devastating that she's not here, and it always will be. But my life now, and I've said this
so many times
on the podcast, my life is so much more advanced and better now for having her and now doing this and being part of this world than it was before.
Can I ask you an awkward question?
If you want.
Shall I leave the room?
Can we turn the stream?
What do you think to Ryan as a boss?
Turn the stream.
No, I'll stay here for that one.
as someone who places an importance of faith in your life, what effect did that have from the loss? And is there any way sometimes you maybe reframe that as saying, this is the bit that's awkward? Was it the plan? Is it meant to be God's plan, as they say?
It was tested massively. Mm. It was tested massively, and even being a religious man, I still don't stand by this plan. I don't, and that's me being a religious man. I can't look at it as a plan because I don't see.
Yeah, okay.
Despite me having my faith and my belief, I don't see how anyone can do something like that to someone so fragile and so who wants to be here. That's just my view.
Yeah.
Everyone will have their own view, right? But yeah, it definitely got tested without question, you know. But I ended up going and doing some actual one-to-one sessions with the vicar of the church that we had the funeral at the time, and that really helped me because he was really good for me as well. So, but
question for both of you: do your friends now who you don't speak to on any work capacity, so nothing to do with the podcast, nothing to do with the Lily Mae Foundation, just your boys that you might see? How often do you still now, after 10 years, 16 years almost, talk about Callie and Lily?
No. I mean, but when birthdays come round, I think.
Only at pertinent times and stuff.
How do you feel about that?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, I don't know what Ryan was saying about acquaintances, this is a big thing that comes up with when we work with people early in the one-to-one step, or the people that we work with in stages, that when you're at the start of your loss, you want everyone to care about what's happened. But as Ryan said, people go back into their own life and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, as you all know, me, my personality. I like everyone to like me. I see the best in everybody. That's just who I am. And it took me a long time to think and realize that actually not everyone is meant to be part of this.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that now. I'm a lot more forward, straightforward than I used to be. I think Callie's given me that. Mm. I'm happy to speak my mind a lot more than I used to.
Yeah.
Before I didn't want to upset anyone, but actually now I'm like, to be honest, at times I don't really care.
Yeah, good.
Which is good. I don't know what you lot think. I think as you get older, you feel like that.
I might be stereotyping it, but it might be a bit of a guy. I mean, I think it happens to everyone, but yeah, I've sensed this with a lot of my guy friends. Because and same myself, it's just the old, especially like being on the radio and stuff back in the day. And you just get really, when social media was first becoming a thing, and it like you get some smack talk from someone, and I was like, we'd really play on my mind for a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I just look at it and go, you dickhead. Yeah. and actually, genuinely acknowledging that this hasn't got to me.
Yeah.
And that was such a liberating moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
No, it's great. Because also, actually, because you realise you can't please anyone anyway, right? Yeah, everyone anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you just have to think, well,
Waste of energy.
I'll please the people that care for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you get to a point where it's just like, I haven't got the time or the energy for you. But going on to people that I have met, and people that I've met since we've lost Cali. And I know he doesn't do soppy, and I'm not even going to look at him when
stop.
I tell him this.
Ryan.
No, but he stop looking at him. But he has.
Well, it leads on to my next question,
but people like him and dads that I've met have become so important to me.
Yeah.
And I don't tell them, and they don't need to hear it. Because I also don't know what Ryan thinks. I think sometimes it's almost like this thing that you get, that you realise that the people who've lost...
I've had to move off the camera. I've put the camera on Matt.
the people that have lost that you meet afterwards, you know you can rely on them.
Yeah.
Nothing else needs to be said.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend
in
me.
This is what he does.
What a tune that is, by the way.
That was the introduction on one of our episodes.
It was.
On a serious note, before we finish up for this episode today, because obviously, and if you've not heard the show before, don't know these guys, I'm getting an idea of into their characters, and they're genuinely who they are. And there is a lot of ribbing between these two in the office. I think it's just part of the natural... I don't know if it's...
I think it's the only way Ryan can put up with me.
But, because you two are... How did you two meet?
It was the support group, right?
Yeah, Matt.
Well, I did the run, didn't I? The run.
Matt did the fun run and then started accessing the support.
Yeah. Tuesday support group originally. Yeah.
I just couldn't get rid of him.
I've just never left.
And how...
It's like a bad wart.
My question on the serious note, though, is how did you two support each other in that kind of friend way?
Friends.
Or did you? Or is it... Because I know you work together now, but in those moments of, okay, this is not the time to be humorous, puerile, laddish, whatever it is. I know you do have those moments. Have you found those between each other?
I don't think we ever consciously did support each other.
Just knew.
I think we... being around each other and knowing what makes each other tick. You know, if you walk into the office and... something's pissed me off or something's pissed Matt off, you just know to not say anything to me for an hour
Matt's like, don't hide my lunch today,
I haven't cocked up my holiday this year or something like that. So right, yeah, okay. He just knows.
Yeah.
Inevitably, I'll get a message.
Yeah, okay.
Ryan, when WhatsApp comes through to Ryan from Matt, he's like, What now?
I was in the car with my youngest daughter yesterday. We were sat at one of the public charging points because I was getting that range anxiety. It's our first electric car. And my youngest daughter, she was on my phone watching YouTube, one of those annoying videos. And, hey guys, one of them ones, screaming. And then the messages started coming through in one of the WhatsApp groups. And Ryan's message, Ryan came up. And so Emmy, my youngest daughter, she knows you two. She knows work with you two. And she goes, Matt's the funny one. She saw Ryan's name pop up. She went, is that the angry one? And then she got annoyed because the notifications kept getting in the way of her Barbie video. It was. Matt is doing a challenge, a big challenge. He's doing it right now. It's every single day for the whole of 2026. Go on, tell us more about this. Is it 10 kilometres?
10K a day, yeah, for the whole of 2026.
Which is insane. But you're a good runner, and if people would like to support you, the details are in the description, but where can they find you?
So, the karaoke runner on Instagram has now started, and seems to be growing quite nicely. And
why is it the karaoke runner, Matt?
Do you want to explain, Dan?
No, I want you to.
Because he can't sing.
Well, I can't sing, but it was the way that I described on one of the podcasts that I was running home from a run. Was it?
I like to run because it's fun. I like to run because it's fun.
I don't know if the people on the stream can hear that, but yeah. That was. I put the link into our Christmas episode. So Matt does the karaoke runner. You can suggest a song, and Matt will sing it while he's running. And it's even better to watch on his Instagram Live because of the facial reactions that Matt does during certain songs, and also even better is the reactions of people that he's running past, going, "Does he realise how loud he's singing?" And you can support him through there. And it's every single. So you've only got. Is it a leap year this year? It's not, is it?
Yeah, don't bring the maths into it, mate. Please. I've got.
Why, you're really good at maths.
Yeah. I know how many days I've got to do. No, it's.
That's amazing, mate. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. Barely do one run.
It's started all right so far. My body's reacting quite well. I'm just trotting along. I'm not running too fast.
Have you got. Because we've just come off the back of quite a lot of snow and ice where we live. Wasn't so much over here, but right towards the centre of Birmingham last week. Yeah, I thought about you slipping and sliding everywhere because I know what your knees are like.
Yeah, I mainly run in main roads, mate. Like it's early morning, so I run towards the traffic, and then if one the cars come along, I just hop on the pavement.
How's your scab?
Scab.
But that's seamless as well from Matt's running, because I've also noticed on the stream he's Jordan Black. It's why I run.
Yeah, man.
And Jordan is also doing his challenge in memory of his daughter Aurora on the 30th and 31st
which
of
is
January.
Nuts.
And we've got two episodes coming out, one on each of those days, 30th and 31st of this month, January 2026, as Jordan embarks on
108
miles
in 24 hours.
24 hours. Mental.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental. I'm hoping to join Jordan for 10 metres because he runs very, very quickly.
I
am hoping to join him, but I doubt very much I'll be running a lot with him because of his pure speed.
He's super fit, isn't he? We've already recorded the episodes that we've had with Jordan, so not long ago, for when he comes on at the end of this month. Are you joining him for any of these, Matt? It would make sense, wouldn't it?
It just depends on the time. Crystal's away for the weekend, so it's whether I can get Etta sorted.
But, right. Okay.
I'll.
So what Matt will do is leave it to the last minute.
No.
There we go.
On
that note, congratulations, Ryan and Amy. You had quite the 2025. Not only are they now fake doctors.
They are doctors.
Yeah.
Fake doctors.
Sorry, I'm just insanely jealous. Joking aside, I'll be serious for this part. Fully deserved and absolutely brilliant. You got awarded an honorary doctorate?
We got an honorary doctorate. Yeah.
When was that?
That was November 24.
Yeah, just over a year ago. Yeah, and then add to that, last month, Ryan has really had to kind of bite his lips about this, hasn't he, as well? Do you want to reveal all?
Myself and Amy were awarded a BEM in the New Year's Honours List, unreal. Which is a British Empire Medal.
British Empire Medal.
Unbelievable. But so
is that like, that is similar to like OBE, MBE, and it's another one of those, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. He's going to be Sir next. Do you imagine what he's going to be like when he becomes Sir Jackson?
I'll just be.
We've got a bow when he walks in. I'm doing that. I'm
you can do that now anyway. You curtsy.
No, it's amazing. It's wonderful stuff. Really is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you've been doing the rounds on a few of the news bits and bobs, haven't you? You've just done one this morning, actually, before we went live on here.
Just done one with BBC again this morning,
Which will now forever be recorded as a national interview while Ryan's all bunged up with a cold.
Correct.
Correct. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the Still Parents podcast, whether you were a part of the live stream with us or listening back to this through your podcast provider, whenever it is. Like I say, all the details in the description on how you can get in touch through our socials, through our app and our website too. And you can find links to that and some of our other episodes. In fact, all of our other episodes that we've done through there. Just a word of warning, if you do go back to the very, very, very first early episodes from 5 years ago now, just be wary. That was, it was on Zoom and it all sounded like we're in toilets. Although the microphones didn't blow up, so maybe we should go back to it.
Yeah, true.
No, so that was there. Thank you very much for your support. It is, as we always say in a podcast, we don't... It's horrible the fact you even have to listen to it in the first place. But if you do, that is what we are. We're here for Ryan and Matt being through this. They understand what is going on, and they have their supports that they can offer for you through the podcast and also through the Lily May Foundation. And the link to their website is in the description as well. That is a lot from us. Any final words, chaps?
No final words.
No, all good.
All right. Have you done your run yet today, Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
You already done it? We do early morning every day.
6:30.
Wow, good. Good on you.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
It's got to be the only time I can really get it in.
Okay. All right, everyone, take care. We'll be back very soon. This is the Still Parents Podcast.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
The Still Parents Podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.